And take the Bible then, and we're going to look in Psalms chapter 37. And this will be our final in the series we've been looking at in Psalms chapter 37. The series of fret not for a little while. Fret not for a little while. We see that in verse 7 and verse 10, but we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 10. We'll do a little review and then we'll get started on tonight, finishing up verses 7 to verse number 10. So let's start with verse number 1, and let's read responsibly. I'll read verse 1, please, and you read verse 2, back and forth, and then verse 10 is where we'll stop in Psalm 37. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Okay, thank you very much. We've been looking at fretting not for a little while. Verse number 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Then verse 10 says, for yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. We discovered in verses 1 to verse number 3 that we can fret not if we trust in the Lord. If we trust in the Lord, including a couple of thoughts on that. Of course, trusting in him for salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We need to do that. That is the best decision we'll ever make in eternity, is to receive Christ as Savior. But as a Christian, we still need to make the decision, and truthfully, daily, sometimes hourly, to trust in the Lord. Lord, this is what you want. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to follow through. I really appreciated the message this morning, didn't you, from the missionary? I thought they did a great job. I appreciated them. We had some time to visit with them later on. And boy, that gentleman has a great testimony, you know. He was on the path to nowhere. And he talked about visiting a Baptist church. Well, he had visited several others too before he got saved. He was talking about a charismatic church that he has visited. And I love people in charismatic churches. I would love them to learn the truth. Amen. And that's what he was talking about. There was all kinds of gymnastics going on in the charismatic church, but he found out that God's love is through Christ. But as a Christian, we still need to trust in the Lord. The things that he gives us, he blesses us with, he says, will you entrust those to me and use you to care for them? So we looked at that. Fret not if you trust in the Lord. And then we saw verse number 4 to verse number 6, we need to fret not if we want to delight in the Lord. Fret not if we want to delight. He says in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight means to be pleased with, to find happiness in. And the Bible says we can do that if we find it in the Lord, in the Lord. Well, here tonight, we're looking at verse number 7 and the following. Here's what it says in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And on it goes on. So tonight we want to finish off our series with this thought. Fret not if you rest in the Lord. Fret not if you rest in the Lord. Now rest does not mean go fall asleep and hope God takes care of the rest. That's not what it means. To rest in the Lord means to have confidence in him and the things that he plans to do, that he will accomplish his will, but he needs you. He says he wants you. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to put our faith and rest in him. That's the idea as we look at verse number 7 to verse number 10. Fret not if you rest in the Lord. Some very important things that he talks about in these short verses I'd like for us to look at. And I was reminded today, you know how many points we're going to have in the message tonight, right? Three. I'm a three-pointer, amen. But praise God, we've got some important things that the Bible wants for us to hear. So let's go ahead and ask his help as we look at, fret not if you rest in the Lord. Are you resting in the Lord tonight? Or are you a bundle of nerves? Are you stressed out? And though the future may be unclear for you, did you know that you can still rest in the Lord? You can still rest in the Lord. Even when things don't look to us like it's possible, God says it always is possible with him. Let's go ahead and ask his help tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we can find rest in you. But Lord, we've got to make that decision. We've got to make the choice. And I pray tonight, would you open our eyes to who we are compared to the scriptures, compared to the word of God. Lord, if there's a need to put things in your hands this evening, help us to see that, Lord. Examine ourselves and line ourselves up with who Jesus would be if he was right here. God, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a life of an eternal life to look ahead. But until we see our Savior's face, Lord, we have a life of service and we have a life of submission ahead. And I pray, help us to see what you want us to see and do what you want us to do. Would you fill me, Lord, with your Spirit? I pray, Father, the things that we share tonight would be your words and not our own, and that you would get the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Rest in the Lord. Fret not if you rest in the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Number one tonight, rest in the Lord is going to take some patience. Some patience. How many have a lot of patience? Have you ever asked God for patience? How many of you have asked God for patience? If you've ever been a parent, you have asked God for patience. If you've ever tried to help someone learn how to drive, you've asked God for patience. How many know what I'm talking about? Anything in life is going to take a little bit of patience. And God says if we rest in the Lord, there's going to be some patience that has to go along with it. In patience, the Bible says, number one, in patience we can wait on God's, here it is, timing. God's timing. And it would be wonderful if there was a calendar book that they sold at the store. You could find it online. And it's God's calendar. And you just plug into that and you know exactly what it is. 6 weeks from now, what God wants you to do. Well, since COVID-19, how many of our calendars have blown up? How many of us have planned things and most of it didn't happen? And we had to reschedule and redo and so forth like that. I think part of what we're going through in life today should remind us that God still has a calendar we need to fall in line with. God says you can get on that calendar every day, but it takes daily to find out what it is. In patience, we can wait on God's timing. You know that God is always on time. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Would you look there with me, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Mentioned charismatics a little bit earlier. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul lays down basically the guidelines, the rule in the New Testament church when the special gifts were going to be used. One of those was the gift of tongues, the gift that God had a special message in a different language that most people wouldn't understand. And he said, here's how it needs to happen. If it's going to happen in your church, then it needs to happen this way. And by the way, it doesn't happen that way today. How many knew that? There is no tongues out there today. Why? Tongues were, and he mentioned it this morning, and he was right. Tongues is a confirmation of God's word to mankind. Confirmation. Do we need more of God's word today? Do we need more of God's word today? No, we've got it all. Amen. It's completed. And did you know that's one of the reasons why there's no tongues today? There's no need for it. There's no purpose of it other than to confuse people, which is what was happening at the church in Corinth. Look at what happened here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Apostle Paul giving basically the purpose and the need for what we need to consider when God's doing great things amongst us, especially through the Holy Spirit. He said this in verse number 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Now go down a few more verses to verse number 40 with me, please. Here's what he said. Now he talks about how tongues and various things need to be done in the church. In verse number 40, he exhorts again the Corinthian church, "Let all things be done decently and in order." You know, God is not a God of chaos. Amen? That's not our God. God is a God who is on time. We need God's calendar. Listen to this. He does not need ours. He does not need ours. We need His. We need to be on His. Life would be a lot less troublesome in the sense of the stress, of the anguish, if we got on God's calendar more often. Does that mean that life would be without its problems? Folks, you read about the testimonies of the great saints over the years, and I'm here to tell you, they had problems. Many of them were killed for their testimony for Christ. And we would say, wow, that's a sad thing. Not in the eyes of the Lord. Precious is the death of His saints, the Bible says. Those that are following the Lord can't expect, the Bible even tells us, persecution if we're living godly. But that does not mean that it's anguish to live a life like that. As a matter of fact, it's a life that is at rest with God. In patience, we can wait on God's timing. In patience, number two, we can wait on God's righteousness. Look at verse number 7 here with me, please. Going back to Psalms, look at verse 7 again, please. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Now, I'm getting to the point where I don't want to watch any news at all. I don't know about you. All it does is just upset me, frustrate me, and I don't care where I find it, whether it's on the internet, in the papers, on TV, it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating. And those that claim not to be fake news, that's just as frustrating. But the truth of the matter is that there are evildoers out there that are working very hard to see our country and the name of the Lord erased. Erased. Not just different. You understand? Satan does not want to change you. How many knew that? He doesn't want to change you. He wants to erase you. He wants to erase you. That's why he's trying to get some of these folks riled up.
Religious is going to be under attack
awfully soon, if not already. The truth of the matter is, there are evildoers out there, and God says He's still a God of righteousness. He's still a God of righteousness. And do you know in the end, God wins?
Amen.
How many have read the whole Bible? In the end, God wins. Amen?
Amen?
But you know what? I believe we don't have to wait for the end to see God have some victory.
Right.
The wicked nation, the Bible says, rewards wicked devices. But the righteous God rewards the righteous life. Turn with me, if you would, Psalms chapter 11. Let's go a few pages back to Psalms chapter 11. The righteous God rewards the righteous life. Psalm 11, that's where we're going. We're going to look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. In patience, we can wait on God's righteousness. You know, without patience, we can look out into the world and stay frustrated, get upset, and maybe even lose our testimony. We don't want to do that. Christ says we can be used of Him even in the midst of all this evil that's going on around us. Here's what it says in Psalm 11. We're looking at verse number 3 and following. Please follow along as I read. The Bible says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares fire and brimstone and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portions of their cup. Verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Friends, I'm here to tell you, don't get in an uproar. 2020 isn't over. The country's not gone yet. Regardless of what we read and see, trust in God. Be patient and wait on God's righteousness. What if things don't turn out the way we hope? What if we did get a president that we didn't vote for? Or a representative or whoever in leadership? Let me ask you this. Has that ever happened before? What was it, a few years ago? I think it was the second run with President Barack Obama that year, that presidential election. I forget what year it would have been. Some time ago now. And we had some great conservatives on the ticket, and I thought, wow, man, there's no chance of us losing this one. And I remember coming out, my wife and I talked about this, everybody, I mean everybody we voted for, lost. Even the, you know, what do you call them? Not the people, but the things that you write out for amendments and so forth, things like that. Proposals. Yeah, even the proposals, I thought, no way is this going to pass. When we lost that one too. But do you know what the Bible says? That God was still on his throne that day. And he will be there tomorrow as he is today. God's throne does not depend on what we do, but where we're at with him does depend on our choice of following through and resting in him. And part of that has to include some patience. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently on him, the Bible says. There it says, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 37. Rest in the Lord is going to come. Is going to take some patience. And then number two, if you're keeping notes, found in verse number 8, says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Number two, rest in the Lord is going to take some trimming. Good to have Brother Tim and Sister Carolyn here. What a blessing they are. Brother Tim, one thing that he used to help me out with, because I'm all thumbs. I love shooting deer, but I'm all thumbs when it comes to processing them. And he helped me out quite a bit. And man, he could trim off the fat and the things that we don't need, that fur, you know. You don't want a mouthful of fur when you're eating your venison. And he helped me, and it was great skill. And speed. Well, I couldn't believe how fast you could do that, brother. But trimming is something that we need to do in the Christian life too. Here's what the New Testament calls it. Purging. Jesus called it purging. Those whom he loveth, he purgeth, he said in John chapter 15. Here the Bible says, cease, forsake, and then he says, fret not. What is he talking about? Take a look. He says, number one, trim anger off the heart and mind. Cease from anger. And you say, well, the Bible says that we can be angry. God's angry a lot. If you read the Old Testament, by the way, if you read the scriptures, it sounds like God's angry quite a bit in the Old Testament. But yet in the New Testament, do you see that he's a God who is often, more often, seen as the God of what? Love. He's both. But I want to tell you something. None of us are God. None of us are. The Bible says that we ought to trim off the heart and mind anger. Most of our anger is not righteous. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 says this, be ye angry. So there's a command. And then it says what? Sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. One of the ways you know that your anger is in sin is if you hold on to it till the next day. Number one. Then it says in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Another reason we know that our anger is in sin is that we begin to follow what Satan would want us to do instead of God would want us to do. Most of our anger is not righteous. That is not to say that anger at times can be just. When there is an injustice and righteousness is demanded and God puts you in the moment, yeah, let the Lord use you. Be the hammer. be the anvil. But God says, not in bitterness, but for me. But for me. If you're angry, the Bible says, expect some battles. Turn with me in Proverbs. Let's go to the next book. Proverbs chapter 21. If you're angry, expect some battles. Verse number, chapter 21 is where we want to go in Proverbs. We'll start there. And look at verse 19. Proverbs 21, verse number 19. You know, Proverbs is one of those books. It's got advice for every phase of life. And here we're looking at the phase in, I guess you could say, in marriage, if you want to put it that way. Here's what the Bible says. We'll look at this one and then another one where the scriptures talk about the husband. Here's in verse number 29, chapter 21, verse 19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. It's better to be out there and survive on bugs and everything else, the Bible says, than to be in the home where the woman cannot control her temper. Anger. Anger. Do ladies get angry? If you're a human being, yeah, it's possible. And God says, ladies, if anger is part of your character, you need to take a look at it alongside Scripture. You're doing harm to your family. Turn with me to chapter 29. You say, whew, I'm glad that didn't talk about me. Guys, hold on. Chapter 29. Look at verse number 22 with me, please. Proverbs 29 and 22 says this, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in what? Transgression. That is outward wickedness. Transgression is the outward sin. Iniquity, we've talked about this, is the what? Inward desire and sinfulness, sinful thoughts, etc. If you're angry, expect some battles. You know, we often think about the years of youth being the years when, boy, we got to battle all those various emotions and figure out how it is to live in this world and maybe do it for Christ. And I'm here to tell you, as a teenager, I've mentioned this more than once, that bitterness was something I struggled with as a young person. But here's what God is telling me today. As a man, I still need to keep in mind, anger is not okay today. Stirring up strife is still not okay today. Look at what it says, a furious man aboundeth in transgression. That's where it's headed. If you're angry, expect battles. Expect battles. Trim off the heart. Trim anger, off the heart and mind. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Take a look again what it says in that list in verse 8. He says, cease from anger. And then he says, and forsake wrath. Forsake wrath. And a lot of this wrath we see throughout the scriptures comes through the things that we say. Trim wrath off the tongue. Number two, trim wrath off the tongue. We're in Proverbs 21. If you go back and look at verse 23, here's what it says. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Keepeth means to control, to put under discipline. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. James chapter 1, let's go there. James chapter 1, talking about the tongue, amongst other things. But James chapter 1, take a look, verse number 26. You say, well, certainly Proverbs 21 isn't talking about me. I'm born again. I've been in church. Man, I've done ministry. I've taught classes. I've served the Lord in church and so forth. And that's not talking about me. Take a look at James chapter 1 and verse 26. And if this isn't a self-examination verse, I don't know what is. He says, if any man among you seem to be what? Religious. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is what? Vain. Vain means empty. Empty. Bridleth means to restrain. Restrains not. Then the truth is there's an emptiness in what I claim to be in my religious life. God says the tongue is very important to him. You know, if we go back to Revelation, we're not going to look at it. Here's what he says. Every idle word he records. Boy, I'm here to tell you, I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, aren't you? That we can go to God and confess the idle words to God. Here's what God does when we confess the idle words. You know what he does? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Wipe it clean, forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us, and to cleanse us. I learned how to curse and swear in high school, and it took a few years to stop learning how to do that. But I'm thankful that in a moment, I can ask God to forgive me. Now, sometimes you need to go to others and ask them too. You know, if we came out of our mouth, then those that heard it needs to hear from us too. That's not the way I should have been. That's not the language that becomes a Christian. Would you forgive me? I'm sorry about that. That's not the kind of testimony I want to live in front of you. I want to see you come to the Lord. And that kind of language is not going to draw you to Christ. Trim wrath off the tongue. By the way, cursing and swearing is just part of a tongue that's corrupt. Other means of strife, other means of scorn, etc. The scriptures talk about that's all in the New Testament. If we went to Colossians, we'd find out a whole list of things that have nothing to do with vile language, but the kind of language that is tearing one another apart. Trim wrath off the tongue. Let's go back to Psalm 37. One more thing he says in verse number 8 to trim, and that is this. He says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Trim evil off the testimony. Trim evil off the testimony. Hebrews 11 and verse number 5, here's what it said about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him or caught him up. That's what that literally means. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. That's Hebrews 11, verse 5. Trim evil off the testimony. Can it be said about us? There's someone who goes, boy, they please God. They please God. There's no doubt that they live it. It's in them. They're growing, but they live it. One man challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised to find that the other man had chopped substantially more wood and had won the contest. I don't get it, he said. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, and yet you chopped more wood than me. The other man said, when I sat down to rest, you didn't notice that I was sharpening my axe every time. The Bible tells you and me, rest in the Lord is going to take some trimming, to take some of those things off our heart and mind, change the tongue and our testimony for God. It takes time to do that. And God says the best way, rest in the Lord. Rest in Him. Trust it in Him. Final thought, let's go back to Psalm 37. We're looking at verse number 9 and verse number 10. Psalm 37, we saw we can rest in the Lord. It's going to take some patience. If we're going to rest in the Lord, it's going to take some trimming. And then number 3, if we're going to rest in the Lord, it's going to take some consideration. Consideration. Verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Consideration, consideration, to meditate on, to examine. All right, let's investigate this. Let's see what's going on. Why is this all happening and how God stands on the situation? Well, a couple thoughts, and that's all I have before we close, is this. Number one, consider the end of the godless life. And if I'm talking to anybody tonight, I'm talking to especially our young people. Consider the end of the godless life. As much as we love you guys and girls, we know this. The adults around here know this. Influences, people, and sometimes our own philosophies and ideologies can draw us away from Christ, especially as a young person. Especially as a young person. We urge you, consider the end of the godless life. There are people on the streets today because drugs has overtaken them. There's people in jail today because in a drunken stupor they committed terrible crimes. There's folks because of the friends they hung out with or because of the philosophies that they figured through that they are in great regret and they did not consider the end. They considered the moment, but not the end. What does the Bible say about a person who is without Christ, living the godless life? What's the end for him? If he doesn't change and he draws his last breath, the first place the Bible says that he can expect to go is where? Hell. Absolutely. It's all through the New Testament. It's in parts of the Old. Hell. The New Testament reveals also that hell would not be the final place. And to say it's even a resting place is an affront to God's word. It is not a resting place. It is a place of great terror and anguish. The Bible says following hell will be the day that there will be a day when all the souls of men who've rejected Jesus will stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and that final judgment will come down, a condemnation for man's sin and rejection of Christ. And the Bible says they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Here's what the Bible says here in Psalm 37. They'll be cut off. Cut off. They will not be. Look at verse number 9. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. All those people were trying to impress. All those friends that we're hoping would like us if we just follow along what they're doing, if it's something other than what God wants, God says, consider the end. They'll be cut off. But also, number 2, consider the inheritance of the godly life. The godly life has an inheritance. The godless life has an end, but the godly life has an inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? Let's take a look at what the Bible says. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 2. Romans chapter 8. And then we'll go back to Isaiah. Romans chapter 8. Let's go there first. Consider the inheritance of the godly life, the life that knows Christ and strives to live and obey what God has for him and her. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse number 16. And I'm going to ask you to read these with me. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Let's read those together, please, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Let's begin. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our heart that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Where is Jesus today, folks? We often talk about Jesus being in our heart, and certainly his testimony and who his character is needs to be part of our character. But in form, the Bible tells us that Jesus is in heaven. His presence is there. Although he says that he can be present when we meet in his name. So is he here tonight? Yes. Absolutely. But the Bible says that his presence, he's preparing a place in heaven for you and me tonight. What does God tell us about receiving Christ as our Savior? Where Jesus is and what he's got, we're going to get. Where Jesus is and what he's going to receive, we're going to get. The Bible says he's in a glorified body. Guess what? You're going to get a glorified body. Tomorrow my mom's going to have knee surgery. No knee surgeries in heaven. How many are thankful for that? No glasses. There's no hospitals in heaven. How many knew that? No clinics. Because everyone's going to have the body of Christ glorified, if you know him today. Not only that, an eternity with our Heavenly Father, along with all the others who know Jesus as Savior. You know, in hell, the Bible tells us, it indicates that you do not get to speak to anyone else in hell. There's no dinner club in hell. There's no socializing. You are alone. There's no day and there's no night. It's constantly darkness. That's what the Bible indicates. There's no relief in hell. But the exact opposite is in heaven. It's light all the time, the Bible says. And by the way, who's the source of the light? Jesus is. Do we get to spend time with other saints in glory?
Amen.
Bible says we'll be there with the other saints, joint heirs. Joint means together, heirs. We'll be able to talk to our Heavenly Father? I think so. We'll be more apt to listen, I think, than talk. But look at what we've got. If you live the godly life, here's what you can expect. Believers are joint heirs with Jesus. And then the Bible says that even eternity will be peace absent of the wicked. Two steps we want to look at here in the future events. The first one is the millennial reign of Christ. We find that in Isaiah chapter 2. We find it all over the Bible. But we want to look at Isaiah chapter 2. What's going to happen during that 1,000-year reign when Jesus is in charge? He's in control. Bible says we'll be with him because we'll be with him forever. Isaiah chapter 2, take a look, verse 3 and verse number 4. It's going to look like a lot different world than what we know today. One of them is that there's going to be peace. Verse number 3, verse number 4 of Isaiah chapter 2 says this, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What's the answer to weapons of mass destruction in the world and getting rid of them? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one who's going to get with. Nobody on this earth today can get rid of them. But Jesus will. The Bible says the things that are going to be used to hurt men will be beaten, the Bible says, into plowshares, used to help in fruitfulness, not in war. Now that'll be the millennial reign of Christ. That's Isaiah chapter 2. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 and look at the eternal time with God, an eternal living time with God. Hebrews chapter 13 is where we want to go. And Revelation notes this as well, but some interesting thoughts here I thought would help us in Hebrews 13. Look at verse number 20, please, and 21. Here the writer of Hebrews is finishing up the letter. And he says this, he's giving a kind of a closing remarks. He says in verse number 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the, listen to the words, everlasting. So how long is everlasting? It means it'll never end. Everlasting, the Bible says, covenant, that salvation covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, verse 21, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, look at the words, forever and ever. And the writer was so impressed by what the Holy Spirit said. What's the next word he said? Amen. Forever. We're going to have God's peace. Would you consider that? Would you consider that before joining in with the transgressors, the evildoers, those opposed to God, instead of those who would be on the side of God. God says, you and I can be fret-free. Is that a word, fret-free? The Bible says, fret not if you rest in the Lord. Let me ask you this question, these questions. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you delighting in the Lord? The things that he brings, that's what you desire too. And are you resting in the Lord? Are you patient? Are you trimming? Are you examining, considering? Oh, God says you can have that rest. You can have that rest. But you and I need to consider what the Lord has. Fret not for a little while. The Bible says there's going to come a time, and it could happen in our lifetime. I told you my theory, who happens to win the president's presidential race might mean that Jesus is coming a lot sooner than we think. I don't know. So who do you vote for if that's the case, you know? Regardless, however long the Lord may take to come and call us home, he says you can live a life that is anguish-free. Fret not. Fret not. But it takes trust. It takes delighting in him, and it takes resting in him. Heavenly Father, help us to follow your word. Lord, would you show us what we need to rest in you with as we examine those things in our life? Lord, we know that when you get the glory, everything falls into place. That's how the real order begins. And so, God, even tonight, would you show us our part, our decision that needs to be made in order to have that happen for your glory and your grace. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. In just a moment, we'll begin to sing, but in the meantime, I'm going to ask the piano to softly play the song. Well, I guess I won't ask the piano. I'll ask the organ to softly play the song we're going to sing as she begins to softly play that. Maybe God's spoken to you about this part of the scriptures that tells us the fret does not have to be necessary. Would you come to the Lord tonight? Ask him to help you. Trust in him. Ask him to help you. Delight in him. Ask him to show you how to rest in him. If that's God's voice to you tonight, would you respond? Some are already on their way to just ask the Lord's help. Maybe there's some other decision God's laid on your heart to make. Hey, ask him for guidance on that. His way will be the best way, regardless of what the end result might be. Would you just come and seek the Lord? We're opening up the front now. If God's opening to you and you're open to him, why don't you respond? And let him have his way with you. Some are still seeking the Lord's help. You can do that. We're going to start singing number 383 if you want to take your hymnal with us. If the Lord's burdening you right now, why don't you respond to him? In the meantime, we'll sing number 383, Close to Thee. As we do, let's sing.